Hello, I'm John Ellis. Welcome to episode 18 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. Not just football, but any sport making the headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Dave McDermott and Andrew Shiney. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, 7th December, with a communal little skip in our step because we're here to talk about a couple of wins and the bounce for the Dons, which we haven't been able to do very much this season so far. Andrew will give you dates. Let's start with the match freshest in our minds and that 4-1 victory over St Mirren. Boss, Stephen Glass.
It's almost difficult to analyse. Should have you scored a couple of goals quick, should have scored a third. And then the game got a wee bit messy in the first half, messier than I would have liked. I think the St Mirren, they're a good team that Jim's got them passing at trying to play. And he didn't give up on that, the fact that they're 2-0 down, which made it a little bit dangerous. So I think our quality in the first half wasn't what it should have been after we went a couple of goals up, which allowed them to come into it a little bit too much. But after that second half, 3-1 up, it's a dangerous half because if they come and nick the first goal, you know what's going to happen. It's going to feel like an onslaught. But we were very professional second half. Use of the ball was a lot better. Threat was a lot better. And the pressure was a lot better. So delighted overall.
And a brace of braces for Marley Watkins and Christian Ramirez.
Last couple of games, I've been itching to get on the score sheet, doing some of the other dirty work to help the team in other aspects. Tonight, I think it just came full circle with everything involved. And yeah, I was starting to get a little worried after you asked me for double digits, and then I went on a little 3 or 4 game without a goal. I think, especially the front four, with myself, Jet, Marley, and Hedgie, I think you just see so much interchanging and movement that it causes havoc at times. And so it's the rewards that we're seeing for that, and both the sacrifices that all of us are making, both defensively and offensively, to open up spaces for others. I think it was on Marley's second goal. Hedges comes to me and tells me, great run, just because it opened up another space for Marley. So it's things like that that don't go unnoticed between us and everybody out there. So it's special to be a part of. Sorry.
For the opposition, formerly of this parish, now Saints captain Joe Shaughnessy says it just wasn't to be for his current team on this occasion.
No, we gave ourselves a lot to do at the start. You know, we came even before the first goal, I thought we had a little chance, and we, you know, we were set up, and then yeah, they scored 2 quick goals, just gave ourselves too much to do in the end. Then we got back into it nearly at half time, and then yeah, to concede another one, it was disappointing. So you're going in at half time the same place you were before the goal was scored, but yeah, you know, it just wasn't to be. Yeah, just, you know, we gave it a go, it just wasn't our day.
And his boss Jim Goodwin, complimentary in defeat.
I thought for the first 4 or 5 minutes we done okay, and for thereafter Aberdeen were the better team. I thought, you know, it's probably the first game in a long time, in a number of weeks, where I've been able to come out and say that we were comfortably beaten by the better team. I felt in the last kind of 5 or 6 games that we've been involved in, we've been very much in every game. You know, possibly should have won 2 or 3 of those games, certainly the ones that we've drawn, you know, like the one on Wednesday night. But today, you know, we came up here to try and have a go. You know, it would have been easy to park the bus and to sit off Aberdeen and get 11 men in our own half. But we came and tried to press them high up the pitch and tried to be aggressive with it. And, you know, in certain situations it worked, but, you know, goals is what the game is all about. And Aberdeen were a real threat all afternoon. I thought their front four were outstanding. Every single one of them, I thought they looked a danger every time they got anywhere near their goal. They had some terrific movement. In 1v1s, Hedges, Watkins look dangerous. They've got a little drop of the shoulder. And, you know, we've just got to accept that we were beaten by the better team this afternoon.
Sometimes that's all you can do is throw your hands up and say those guys deserved it today. And I have to say on this occasion, we did, Andrew. What was your take?
I think a lot of credit has got to go to St Mirren for the way they approached the game. They came up, they tried to play football. It didn't work out for them. But I thought for long periods of that first half, they played some really nice stuff. They were quite dominant. And when they got their goal and just before halftime through Scott Tanzer, I thought this could be a tricky kind of situation for Aberdeen. Aberdeen, and no sooner had that thought entered my head that Marley Watkins made it 3-1. So that's where they shot themselves in the foot. They gave themselves no chance to get themselves into the break. 2-1 would have been such a different team talk for Jim Goodwin instead of 3-1. And then second half, Aberdeen got the fourth, and but for Jack Anik could have added to it. So it was a good day's work on an absolutely dreadful day weather-wise. But as I say, a lot of credit has to go to the visitors for their approach to the game. If they'd come up and tried to park the bus, as some sides have done, the Dons may have struggled. But in the end of the day, a 4-1 win and two wins in the spin. And it, as you say, it's a while since we've been able to celebrate that. You have to go way back to August when we had 4 wins in a row. So let's hope that we're on the start of a real roll now.
Let's hope so. And I have to say, two games in a row where the weather, as you say, has been absolutely atrocious. Wednesday night, freezing cold with snow for the Livingston game. And then just torrential rain on Saturday afternoon. If you look down from the gantry where I was, you could see the crowd steadily moving backwards towards the toilets, up the steps. Some of them, I think, and certainly in the Livingston game, you know how if two goals go past you in fairly quick succession, sometimes you'll see the crowd going out. Well, as soon as the crowd had made sure that we were okay, that's when they took off for their cars because it was just too cold. Haven't seen that before at Pittodrie. Lots of chat about the front four, Dave. It's one of the few times this season, I think, where that four have played in consecutive matches. One I wanted to mention is Jett, because he's possibly the most interesting for me. Sometimes he looks off the pace, a little bit slow and laborious. I doubt he's ever been the fastest, to be honest. But what he does have is this incredible awareness of what's going on around him, and a bagload of tricks as well. Wednesday against Livy, he played, I think, the full 90. Saturday, it was only about an hour or so, but in that hour, he was so much more impressive, I thought, and some delightful touches as well.
Absolutely. I mean, he has got an awareness that few of his, if any of his teammates possess. As you say, he's by no means the fastest, but he does do the unexpected, and great on the ball, great holding up the ball. When the ball's at his feet, he can sense something may well happen, and he played his part, as did the other three as well, in that what was an excellent victory on Sunday. And like Andrew, I was really impressed with the way St Mirren went about it, because St Mirren traditionally come up here and put 10 men behind the ball and try and get a point out of it. But to know that they played some expansive football, paid the price, but it was great for Aberdeen. It was two wins that we absolutely needed, so let's make no mistake about that.
Yeah, and credit where it's due, Andrew, I have to say. I think the defences look better these past few games as well. Improvements in both Ross McCrory's form, and even more noticeably, David Bates popping up at the goal and goal line clearances. And behind them, Joe Lewis looks like he's getting back to his best as well.
Yes, I think that's been the major plus. Because we've played some good attacking football this season, maybe not converted as many chances as we'd liked, but the big problem has been the soft goals that we've been conceding, but that seems to have been eradicated to an extent. As you say, David Bates, I thought that challenge that he made on Eamon Brophy in the opening 5 minutes before we'd scored was so vital. And, you know, he's grown immeasurably in the last three games. I thought he was excellent at Celtic, very good against Livingston, and has kept it going again. And that's what you want to see from your defenders, is consistency. And as you say, Big Joe looks much more settled behind them. I'm not sure whether it's because there's not this almost pressing need for him to play everything short from the back now. He's able to hit things longer because he's got a target and Jett up front that he can aim for. But I think Joe's returned to the type of form that we know Joe is capable of. That was just a blip. I mean, he's been around the block so many times. He's played well in advance of 500 senior games. You don't do that by being a bad goalkeeper. And Joe has never been a bad goalkeeper. He had a dip in form, yes. He dropped out of the side. He's gone away and worked on a few things. He's come back and he's the dominant figure in the box again that we're used to having. And that makes all the difference if you've got that solid base to build on.
Absolutely. We touched on this earlier. Importantly, no crumbling in this game, Dave. I actually thought Saints, like you, started well, then two quick goals for us, but then they grew into the game a little bit, got an equaliser through Scott Tanzer. But instead of panicking, we just ran up the field and scored again to make any brief worries disappear. Previous to this, we'd have panicked.
Yeah, and that knocked the stuffing right out of Jim Goodwin's side, make no mistake, because 2-1, all of a sudden, it's game on. But to get the third goal so quickly from Marley Watkins was just the icing on the cake, and it made the second half just that bit easier to navigate. But yeah, early in the season, 2-1 could easily become 2-2, 2-3, whatever. It was refreshing and great to see. Delighted for Stephen Glass, as we say every week. You know, we believe in him, but you know, football is a very unforgiving sport, and if we had lost these two games, you've just got to wonder what would happen next. But no, we can now roll the sleeves up and look forward to St Johnstone, if anyone could ever say that sentence.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, as you say, with the results elsewhere, we're inside the top six and only 4 points back from Dundee United and Motherwell. If, and I know it's a big if, but if we can kick on from here and find a vein of form, Andrew, we might get out the back end of the year with a fair bit to look forward to in 2022.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to McDermott Park on Saturday against a St Johnstone side who I think have won one in their last eight or something like that. They've lost their last three. There's a bit of turmoil down there just now because with Preston North End having dispensed with their head coach, there are lots of rumours flying around in Tayside that Callum Davidson is going to be high on the English side's wanted list. So I think if Callum was to go, and in all honesty, it wouldn't surprise me, because there's no way in this world that he'll replicate last season winning both cups. And he's lost some key players. So I think St Johnstone are there to be taken this weekend. We haven't lost in our last nine visits to McDermott Park. But as Dave said, it's not an easy place to go to. It's never a place that you look forward to going to. But if there was a time to face St Johnstone, I think it's just now, because Aberdeen, as Stephen Glass said, they're riding the crest of a small wave. It's not a huge wave that you're going to surf for miles on. It's baby steps, as Dave said last week. The steps are now getting steadier. And if we can win at St Johnstone, then you have Hibs away. Hibs not doing well, particularly at home. Then you've got Dundee up and down. Difficult, but don't have a great record at Pittodrie. And then you've got Rangers to finish the year off at Pittodrie. And a Rangers game at Pittodrie is never one that you can predict. So I think if we can maintain this form and, you know, build on the momentum that is starting to be created, yes, there's every possibility we could go into the new year looking in a much, much better position than we had been, say, a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I know, says the same guy who last week announced the season had that feel about it, that we'd either be top of the bottom six with a nothing season or bottom of the top six with a nothing season. And typically, being a football fan, I'm now proclaiming from this point we'll go on to win the Scottish Cup and qualify for Europe through the league anyway. Looking ahead then, before the end of the calendar year, as you said, St Johnstone, Hibs away, then Dundee and Rangers at home. That's 12 points. No bother, right, Dave?
Absolutely. And you do hope that after the last wee mini revival, with the wins against the Edinburgh sides and the draw down at Ibrox, which we should have had all 3 points, but for John Beaton, not that I like to labour a point, but you do feel that the confidence, you know, the players will be well aware that they can't let that happen again. It can't just be a mini revival of two games and then go back to a defeat. So and the confidence will be sky high after the Saturday's win against Saints. And now playing the other Saints this weekend. So, and confidence is such a big thing. Like Andrew, I think the call of Preston may be quite a strong one for Callum Davidson, because he's already a Perth legend and he's never going to have as great a season as he had. And the time might be right for Callum to try a new challenge. So, you know, that's still a few days away, so a lot can happen between now and then. So
surely not Callum to Preston and McInnes to St Johnstone by Saturday, though.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking that far ahead. So, again, interesting times. And as we said last week, it's such a difficult league to predict. And we see already, you know, this time last week, although we went out a wee bit later, this time last week we were staring at getting sucked into relegation area if we'd lost those two games. Now we're back in the top six, albeit Hibs have got a couple of games in hand, but they're not playing particularly well. And, you know, all of a sudden, Europe doesn't seem quite such a, you know, rare possibility as it did even 7 days ago. So, it's, you know, it's great for football fans, just so difficult to predict. And, yeah, 12 points out of 12, yeah, no bother.
As well as a sense of relief after the last couple of results, bigger picture, there's kind of, I don't know if you feel this, a sense of sort of underlying frustration here as well, isn't there, Andy? Because having seen all the other teams now, there's no one side that is so far ahead they're romping. I mean, nobody's unbeatable. Even if we click now, we can make a real impact, can't we?
Absolutely. And I think that's something that's being felt up and down the country now. I think a lot of folk probably had a wee bit of a snigger when they saw how poorly Aberdeen were going in that run of, you know, 10 games without a win, and then three successive defeats after they'd had the mini revival. They probably thought, ha-ha, you know, Aberdeen, you've had it so good for so long. See what it's like down at the wrong end of the table. But you're absolutely right. You know, nobody has strung together a really serious run of victories. Rangers and Celtic are at the top end of the table, as you would expect, given their financial resources, given the help that they get from big crowds, debatable refereeing decisions, etc., etc. You know, I think if the Dons can get a little bit of consistency, this is this great word in football, consistency. If you can get that into your game, you know, there's nobody in this league that is unbeatable. Absolutely not. Rangers, top of the league, they should have lost Aberdeen at Ibrox, but for a blatantly bad refereeing decision. Celtic, playing some great football, they only beat Aberdeen 2-1, courtesy of a freak goal from Callum McGregor. So it just shows very, very fine margins between success and failure. But having played everybody this season, some of the sides up above us, you wouldn't be worried at all about playing against them. Dundee United, I think they've had their moment. They've had a good little run. They're getting found out a little bit just now. Motherwell, very inconsistent. Hearts, they're all right, but you know, we've beaten them, we've drawn with them this season. We wouldn't be scared of going to Tynecastle. So, yeah, if we can get a decent bit of form and maintain it, there's nothing to stop us really motoring up through the numbers in the league and getting to the position where Aberdeen are expected to be.
I think the real sort of yardstick, if you look at the games this season so far, is the likes of Motherwell, because and this is where we've been exposed so many occasions. Motherwell mugged us twice because we didn't go toe-to-toe. We didn't, you know, it was literally a battering. And we've seen that from Hearts teams in the past as well. Those games, we've been found out slightly. And what you need to do is go and kind of win on both fronts, where you play the better football, but also you win the physical battle. That would be a real test, wouldn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it would be. And the Motherwell games are a great example of ones that, to be honest, 9 times out of 10, play these games again, we'd have come out with all 3 points. And the last one, you know, it was just that spell early in the second half where inexplicably we seemed to switch off completely for the first 7-8 minutes that cost us. So, but the defence, as we've mentioned, defensively, we've looked far stronger in the last couple of games. David Bates, who I think, you know, we all criticised him earlier on, but I think we're probably being a bit unfair given the lack of game time that he's had. It was probably almost like he had to go through a pre-season to get himself up to be match fit, and we're now starting to see the benefits. Now, like Andrew, I thought he was excellent on Saturday, and it's far more comforting to see the defence now than it was, say, just a few short weeks ago.
Yeah, Declan Gallagher on the bench on Saturday, coming back as well. And also, you'll have seen the photos this week. I was hugely comforted by them and thrilled, actually, to see Andy Considine standing at Cormac Park and back on the grass, as he said. So I don't know how far away he's going to be, but just great to see him up and about again, wasn't it, Andrew?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there was that short clip, video clip. I think it was Dylan McGeoch. He was running alongside. But just to see Andy back there running again, it gives you real genuine hope for the future. Because, make no mistake, his presence has been a sore, sore miss for Aberdeen this season. He's such a calming influence. He brings huge experience. And I think it's when he's not there, you really appreciate what Andy Considine brings to the team. And Declan Gallagher being fit enough to be in the bench, I wasn't surprised that Stephen Glass didn't throw him on for the last 10 minutes or so of the game, because really what would have been the point? The game was comfortable. We will have to make a change when we go down to Easter Road, because Ross McCrory will be suspended for that after picking up 6 bookings. And at least we've got defenders coming back. Declan back, Jack McKenzie and Calvin Ramsey, almost the forgotten men, because they've been out for quite a fair chunk of this season. And, you know, I think Jack is probably closer to being back to full match fitness than Calvin. But what a great weapon you've got in your armoury to have coming back in. It may be after the turn of the year. It may be for these games just coming up, but Calvin Ramsey will bring an added spark to the Aberdeen attack, which is now firing. So it's all positive stuff that's coming out of Pittodrie now, which makes a very pleasant change, because you know, I think, you know, we were getting a wee bit sick of coming on to this podcast and going, oh, well, yeah, maybe we could be better next week. Now, I think we'll really have a genuine feeling of optimism going into games.
It does feel slightly different this time. I mean, when you've got the likes of Hearts and Hibs and Rangers in the week, then you could level the argument that we've, you know, upped our performance to play teams that are on a par or better than us in general terms. Whereas when you're playing the likes of St Mirren and Livingston, those are hard battles that I normally worry about the Dons coming through, but they've passed that test. Maybe, just maybe, we can kick on from here. Let's look ahead to the nearest match first. St Johnstone away. You'd expect it to be stuffy and tight with Saints, but they've not been the usual selves of late, shipping more goals than normal, as you say. But how do you see that one going when the Dons travel to face St Johnstone, Dave? Let's get a score predictor from you for this coming weekend.
I think we might actually get a very rare clean sheet. We haven't had too many of them this season, but there's not going to be too much in it. There never is down there. So it'll probably end up with 6-6. But I think 1-0 Aberdeen, a single goal, enough to take 3 points back north.
Andrew?
Well, I was doing a wee bit of work ahead of the game, and I was interested to see that in 22 games, guess how many goals St Johnstone have scored this season?
6.
Oh, come on. They're not that bad. It's 13. But therein lies the problem for St Johnstone. They just don't score enough goals.
And they've got a lot of strikers out just now as well.
Exactly. So I think, as I said earlier, now is a good time to be playing against them. And I think Aberdeen will win this game by a couple of goals. And like Dave, I'm hoping it's going to be a clean sheet. So I'll go 2-0.
Okay. Now, for the under-18s, at the very moment we were recording last week, Andrew received an email to say the Dons under-18s match for the following day against Dundee United at St Andrews had been postponed. This week, we're supposed to be at Rugby Park to face Kilmarnock under-18s at 4 o'clock on Friday, I think. I will give you a moment or two to check your inbox, Andrew, but as we record on Tuesday morning, we're still to be battered by whatever Storm Barra is going to bring, but it's still on so far as you know at this stage, yeah?
At this stage, yes. I think we're going to get the tail end of Storm Barra. We might get the high winds, but the really bad weather is going to hit the southwest, where Kilmarnock is situated. But I think all things being equal, the 18s will be on duty again on Friday. And we've already beaten Kilmarnock this season, I think I'm right in saying. I think they'll fancy their chances down there. They'll be without Timmy Fatona and Evan Towler, who were both red carded in the previous under-18s game, the league game, which was against Hamilton. Haven't cast my mind back because it's a two, three weeks since we've played, because we had a Youth Cup tie. Incidentally, for those who follow the Youth Cup, we've been drawn away to Rangers in the quarterfinals. But I fancy Aberdeen to get a result in that one, because they've more than matched Rangers in the two league games this season. A 3-3 draw up here at Cormac Park and a 3-1 defeat down at Auchenhowie. But that was a game where we missed about 4 1-1 chances and really should have won. So that one I'm looking forward to. But to get back to Friday, even with the skipper missing and with Timmy Fratona missing, I think it's an opportunity for others to step in. And if we can continue to play the high-octane brand of attacking football that we've been playing, I can see a few goals for Aberdeen down at Rugby Park. And the fact that it's being played in the stadium as opposed to, you know, a school playing field out in the suburbs, I think the game will go ahead okay.
And I suppose, assuming the match does go ahead, for the younger lads, the thing to kind of get their heads around as a collective is thinking maturely again and trying to learn that game management side of things that they have to as they aspire to reach the top team, Andrew.
Absolutely. And you've got no better mentor than Barry Robson, because he will be in your ear constantly telling you the things that you're doing wrong, giving praise for the things you're doing right. I described the under-18 season as being a crazy roller coaster. I'd sent a message of commiseration to Paul Sheeran after he'd lost his job at Falkirk, and he was asking how were things going. And I said, you know, it's been a roller coaster this season with the 18s. And he says, that's Robson for you. No, there's some good players. They're young players. We've said it so often. You know, they're on average a year younger than their opponents. And you cannot quantify just how much experience you can get into a football player in that year between 16, 17, 17 and 18. So they're learning their trade, but they're taking the lessons on board. And again, it's this great word, consistency. If they can get a little bit more of that into their game, they've got pace, they've got quality, they've got excitement about them. They're a really good watch. Okay, you're tearing your hair out at them at times, but if they can continue the upward sort of spiral, but
trajectory,
good word, John. Well done. You could see the hand motion, but the word wasn't coming. But if they can continue that, then I've got high hopes that a good number of them can go on to have decent careers in the game.
Good stuff. Now, for the AFC women's team, it's a kind of an as-you-were situation following a promising start to the season, falling away 7 losses in a row. No game at the weekend just passed, but they'll be focusing on trying to turn that form around in their next match against Hamilton on Sunday. Now, on to Cove Rangers, it looks like they're really starting to click at an important time with another victory at Balmoral on Saturday. 2-0 victory over Dumbarton, moving them 5 points clear at the top of the table. They must feel good there.
It does, although, like Andrew experienced and yourself, I experienced horrendous conditions on Saturday. So bad that one of the corporate tables
blew away.
People that were sitting at the tables, they came out for the game, stood for 5 minutes, decided it's far too cold to sit outside, and went to the pub for the rest at 3 in the afternoon. But the wind was horrendous. Cove were with the wind in the first half, and you know the ball was being overhit countless times. Playing against the wind, as we thought they were a lot better, and 2 good goals from Fraser Fivey and who got the second? Ian Vigers, from the cross from Shea. And Fraser Fivey was deservedly named man of the match for the sponsors. Sponsor, of course, who also happened to be Fraser's own sponsor, but nothing underhanded with that decision, obviously. He's really back to his best, Fraser Fivey, and big asset. And it, as well as being 5 points clear at the top of what is such a close league, it's given them a real boost ahead of tonight's huge game down at Palmerston, which they'll be leaving pretty soon if they're not on their way already. So, I quite fancy them because they should have won, as I mentioned last week, in the home game because Queens were very lucky to still be in that tie. And as I say, Cove will be going down there with confidence very high indeed.
Yeah, that's tonight, of course, a Scottish Cup third round replay versus Queen of the South at Palmerston, followed by Falkirk away on Saturday. You mentioned Paul Sheeran and that result resulting in him losing his job. First of all, how do you see the cup tie going, Dave?
I think Cove might just sneak it. I think it'll be very close, obviously. But as I say, the confidence is right back in there. You can see it flowing through the Cove team, although the conditions on Saturday were a bit of a leveler. And fair play to Dumbarton. They manfully gave everything, but were just undone by the better side in the end. So I do quite fancy. And the incentive, of course, is a trip to Easter Road in the next round. So, you know, whatever happens in that game, it's going to be a bit of a payday for either Queen of the South or Cove who go through tonight. But fingers crossed for the wee Rangers.
As well as, they're going so well. I would have thought that Cove, if they got through to face Hibs, they wouldn't necessarily be shouting it from the rooftops, but they might quietly fancy themselves in a game such as that.
Yeah, I did, when I interviewed Fraser after the incident, he was saying about the, you know, potentially the Hibs game, although not getting carried away. And I said, so your ultimate aim is to knock your former club out of the Scottish Cup? He said, absolutely, 100%.
To knock all his former clubs out of the Scottish Cup, probably. Falkirk away on Saturday. Will that be straightforward after that one?
I don't know. I mean, unless you know the mood in the dressing room.
It's wounded animal stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, we've seen the either no manager bounce. It's Danny Granger who was coincidentally playing for Darren Young, who lost his job at East Fife. He's now taken over interim charge. So, you know, but he was part of Paul's backroom staff. So it should be interesting to see how the players react. But Cove just need to concentrate on their own game. They're the top of the league table. They'll go in as favourites. Falkirk, I mean, it was totally unacceptable, that Queen's Park result. And you, as soon as you saw it, you thought, well, you feared for poor Paul. And so it transpired. But Falkirk had their AGM last night, and of course, and five new directors appointed to the board. And you do think, you know, it was unfortunate for Paul, it was going to be thrown like a lamb to the slaughter, because the new board would not have wanted to go to the AGM without something having happened after a 6-0 defeat. So,
absolutely.
Confident that Cove can get another win on the road on Saturday.
Kind of suggests a club in a real state of flux, doesn't it, Dave, when you've got five new directors coming on board, a new coach is, I mean, Brian Rice's name is very prominent in the betting for who's taking over from Paul. But, you know, given the size of that club down there and the fact that, you know, they imploded last season when it looked as though they should get promotion, all is not well at Falkirk. But as we've said, it's such a tight league.
They sacked David McCracken and Lee Miller 10 days after they'd been awarded the Manager of the Month award. It just shows you how patient the board are. But they're a club that need to be in the Championship at the very least. They see themselves as a top flight club, which they were, of course, up until 11 years ago when they got relegated. But it does seem a real poison chalice, and Gary Holt getting a lot of flack as director of football there as well.
Looking back, the biggest sort of change that they made in the system was that they abandoned the youth academy, didn't they? And that had been so useful for them for so many years in terms of blooding these kids and then probably selling more. It probably kept the club afloat on a few occasions, I would imagine. Looking back on sort of abolishing that, was that a terrible idea?
I think you always look at clubs that abolish youth and think, how short-term is that viewpoint? Because, as you say, the Scott Arfield, prime example of a player that came through their youth system and ended up playing in the Premiership down south. So I always think it's false economy, you know, because that is the future of clubs such as Aberdeen, such as Falkirk. So, yes, I think it was a bad idea, definitely.
And it's something as well, Andrew, isn't it, that, you know, once you go down that road, it would take a huge impetus and a huge injection of cash to say, right, we got that wrong, but you know what, let's start off again and see what we can do for the future, because it is something that you have to invest in for a number of years before it's going to bear any kind of fruit.
Absolutely, it's a very long-term plan. It's not something that bears instant fruit. But for a club the size of Falkirk, they desperately need to be producing youngsters that they can give a little bit of experience to and then move on. And you build in all sorts of add-ons onto the contract when you sell a player that, you know, 10 years down the line, you're still making money off that investment that you made 20 years ago. But you're absolutely right. You've got to do an awful lot of groundwork before you see any results coming through.
Peterhead, meanwhile, raced into a two-goal lead at Clyde on Saturday afternoon, only to be pegged back by the home side, the match ending in a draw. Peterhead now seventh in the table on 18 points. For the Highland League teams, not quite the clean sweep of fixtures. Broad Rangers did manage to sneak in a 4-0 win over Huntly. Wick Academy went down 4-1 at home to Fermartin United. All the fixtures in the GPH Builders Merchants Highland League Cup were postponed. One thing of note was the games that did play. Brora closed the gap at the top of the league table to just 1 point, although leaders Fraserburgh do currently have a game in hand. What about the juniors, Dave?
Well, only six games survived the weather, and they produced 49 goals between them. And if I tell you that one of those games was Deverin side 1, Hull Russell United 0, that means the other five, almost 10 goals per game. So I'll just run through the scores in the Super League. Banksiddy 12, Nairn St Ninian 1. Cooter 10, Maud 1. That resulted in Michael Grant, the Maud manager, being replaced by former Fraserburgh stalwart Ryan Christie. Those are the only, along with the Devon side game, to survive in the Super League. First Division, Fraserburgh United 6, Buckenhaven Hearts 1, Stonywood Parkvale 4, alongside 0, and the only game to beat the weather in the Second Division finished White Hills 3, New Elgin 2. So if you want to plenty of goals, maybe some one-sided games as well, pick up a junior game this weekend.
Yeah, just going back to Highland League for a second, because it's one of the strangest stories. It's the sort of thing that makes a question a sport question. The guy that's coming into Fort William. who's leaving Belgium not just the country, but the national team set up. He's leaving there to come in and be manager of Fort William. Take me through that one again, Andrew. How did that happen exactly?
Now, I haven't really followed it hugely, but I did see that the guy has got a fantastic CV, which suggests that he could have been aiming slightly higher than Fort William. But then I don't know his family situation or whatever, maybe he just wants to live in a beautiful part of the west side of Scotland. I hope he's got webbed feet, because it's always very wet over there in Fort William.
It's the only place I've ever seen horizontal rain. It just drives at you down the street.
Absolutely.
But it is a beautiful part of the world.
It is. And if you're looking for a real challenge in football, they don't come any bigger than Fort William, because I think they've only got the 1 point for this season so far, albeit they've had to play all their games away from home, which I think has been extremely harsh on them, because by all accounts, Clagan Park now is in great condition, although the wet weather is probably coming driving in there as we speak via Storm Barra, and Clagan Park's about to be washed away yet again. Yeah. It's an interesting backstory that he's got, and we wish him every possible success at Fort William. To be fair to the Fort, they've done extremely well in turning adversity into an opportunity, because they've been the whipping boys in Highland League football for many years, but I think everybody now has got a soft spot for them. There was the TV documentary about them. There's the backstory of, you know, how they've had to play all their games away from home this season because the Highland League decided that Clagan Park was just never going to be available. They're in a lot of people's hearts, and I'm sure on a Saturday, everybody looks to see, what's the Fort William result? I wonder, how are they doing now? More often than not, unfortunately, this season, it's been same old, same old.
Yeah.
Guys, I forgot one score that I didn't give you was in the Super League. Montrose Rose Lee 0, Bridgeton Thistle 8. So
Thank you for correcting that one, Dave.
Just in case you'd worked out that was short in my adding up.
They're probably thinking, that's only 41 goals in the year mentioned there.
Yeah, some accountant with a lot of time in their hands. That's only 41. You're absolutely right. Yeah, the Fort William story, it sounds like either a next move Hollywood blockbuster, or you know, film one, sequel, and then a third one to come along when they finally win the league. Who knows? That is pretty much it for episode 18 of Pittodrie PS. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Don's previous fixtures and ahead to the next, and, you know, occasionally to Falkirk and Fort William as well. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.